Y'all ready for a little bit of the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight? Oh, my. Let's pick up our Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Joel. I've ministered out of this text before, but I feel like the time is right. My God, something's moving among us. My wife said we're doing something right. Can you say hallelujah? Woo, I said, can you say hallelujah? Amen. Let's look, please, together to the book of Joel. Joel, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Joel, the second chapter. And I'm going to begin reading in the 21st verse. Joel 2 and 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. I said, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I think it's time to lift up that spirit of shame in somebody's life tonight. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. 28th verse. And it shall come to pass afterward, everybody say afterward, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Whew, hallelujah. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Let's flip ahead to 800 years later and go to the book of Acts. And let's see where this prophecy comes to pass. Come on, is the word of God sure or is it not? 800 years later, this is what happens. Acts the second chapter and the first verse. Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Moving on down, as they began to talk about 16 or 17 languages, these people were speaking. Now, in the 12th verse, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose. See, it is but the third hour of the day, or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. May I ask you, is the Holy Ghost in this place, or is the Holy Ghost in this place? Are we living in the last days, or are we living in the last days? Come on. Has God made a promise, or has he made a promise? Woo! I'm going to preach tonight upon this thought of understanding when your time has come. Understanding when your time has come. And I'm here to tell you, Austin Tabernacle's time has come. And anybody under the sound of my voice, your time has come. The Holy Ghost is here. God's still wanting to do more. Folks, I feel healing in this place. I said, I feel healing and I feel deliverance. I believe it's the will of God for me to preach a little while. How many will back me up for a few minutes while I minister the word of the Lord? Brother Kraft, come back and pray. Oh, my. Oh, my. Church, will you lift your hands on me right now as I pray? God, in your precious name, thank you, Lord, for your presence that is in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we have seen tonight in this service the manifestation of your presence. Now, God, finish the work that you started tonight. Right now, Lord, the remainder of this service, touch lives. Set free, O God. Open up the blinded eyes. Unstop the deaf ears, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord, everybody. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, God is in this place. Woo! You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let me tell you a little bit of what it's like to be a preacher. It's fun when everything is flowing. But suddenly when God brings judgment and begins to bring in heaviness, you don't like preaching. And that's about the way it was with Joel. God's people had gotten in such a state of degradation that there looked like there was almost no way out for them. And all Joel had to give to the people of the Lord up to this time was judgment. And that the hand of God was going to be against them. But oh, I can imagine that first morning when he wakes up. Sun shining through that eastern window. And he feels a new feeling in the air. Let me tell you something. A preacher can sense when God is about to do something new. Something extra and above the ordinary. You know it. You can feel it. I'm telling you, it's so real. It's like passing from winter to spring. You just wake up one morning and you feel something warm moving through the atmosphere. And the winds are bringing in that sweet southern breeze. And the coldness is about to leave out. Hallelujah. I can imagine as Joel began to feel that early morning. And the Spirit of the Lord began to come upon him. And God said, it's going to be a new day. Tell my people not to be afraid anymore. I'm about to do something wonderful for them. And he picks up that old pen and begins to write under the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. Where there has been emptiness, there's going to be fullness. Where there's been no fat in the land, God said, I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to bring in a harvest that literally all is going to be full. All the places where you're going to put your wheat, everywhere you step, all over the floor, it's going to be every direction you turn. I want you to notice what God told Joel. He said, it's going to be such a total and complete work that I'm not going to leave anything undone. I'm going to do a great work. And then he says twice, tell my people that they're never going to be ashamed again. Oh my God, I feel an anointing in this place here tonight to tell somebody God's ready to lift the shame off of your life and to give you joy and happiness again. Oh, folks, I'm telling you the truth. I've been here 7.5 years, and I don't know if I've ever felt any. I'm having a hard time preaching tonight. It's so supercharged up here. I just told God, let me get my words out right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what I'm feeling, because I feel like a preacher that's feeling a sweet breeze blowing across this city and across this church. Woo! Understanding your time. My God, have mercy. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, Joel, when he began to pen these words, he began to tell the people, the Lord said, I'm going to restore whatever the palm of worm and the canker worm have done to you. Whatever they have stripped away, I'm going to give it back to you now. And as this prophet began to see that and began to paint that beautiful picture, he got excited. But he felt one drawback. The time for the fullness was not yet. I can imagine what it must have been like to have a taste of what was to come and then stop short of it. To see it as God was going to do it in its fullness and then have the Lord say, time is not yet. And to know you could only go so far. What misery that must be. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad tonight that I am an apostolic Pentecostal preacher. I'd hate to be a Baptist preacher and lead people only so far and tell them that's as far as you can go. I'd hate to be a Methodist preacher or a Presbyterian preacher that could only lead you so... Oh God, I'm glad I'm a one God Jesus name tongue pocket apostolic preacher, because I can tell you He is doing great things. There's somebody greater than the doctor. There's somebody greater than the psychiatrist. There's somebody bigger than the devil. And the power of the living God can restore your very heart. Understanding your time. You may be seated. Joel saw all of these things. And oh, he had a partial touch of God in his day. But he said, listen. He said, it's going to go, but... it's not going to be for our time. And then he writes these words. He said, afterward. Not now. Another day and another time. He said, it's going to be so thorough that all the children, all the men, all the women, all the servants, it's going to come to whosoever will. It's not going to leave anybody untouched. And then Joel, with those wonderful words still in his heart, died and they buried him. 800 years blew the sands of time across his grave. And then came Jesus Christ. And all the people didn't understand. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law. Folks, let me tell you something. You understand. Now, everybody listen up. If you hear anything I say, God is the God of timing. You hear me now. Romans, the first chapter, tells us you can understand the power of God by the things that He's made. He is a God of timing. Watch the tides roll in and out, huh? You watch the seasons come and go. You watch night and day. I'm telling you, you look at the stars in the heaven. You can navigate your ship by it. My God is a God of timing. And if you miss it, you're going to miss it. But I feel Austin Tabernacle got a hold of the tides of revival. And we're saying, oh, I smell spring in the air. Something's about to happen to me. Look at me, saints. Sit there and die in your sins if you want to. But I feel the Lord walking through Austin Tabernacle saying, get up. Be you made whole. Be restored. Be made new. He come up. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hey, you know what this city reminds me of? Can I tell you? Everybody listen up to me. I read a story. It was quite a book. It was about a man that was unjustly imprisoned on this far remote island. It was a true story about how this man wanted to escape. He had not done what the people said he had done. But he was under a foreign nation power and they threw him into prison. And after a while, they let him be like a trustee. He got to walk around the grounds. And he said, I looked out across the ocean. Nobody ever escaped from that prison. They were surrounded by the ocean. And this man, unjustly incarcerated, had no way out. But he said, I got to noticing something. I watched the tides roll in and out. And he said, I got to judging them. And he said, when I would walk through the day, I'd watch those tides as they would roll in. They say nobody can get off of that cliff. But I watched those waters creep up those walls. And he said, until they would almost come to the top. And I would watch the tide begin to roll out until I got it down to a science. He said, I made up my mind. Why sit here and die? If I can catch the tide and catch it at high tide and catch it right, I'll get me a little piece of a board or a surfboard. I'll make me something. And I'll ride her out. Ain't gonna die on this island. My, there's a spirit in this town that has bound this town long enough. Unjustly. There's a demon that has had free will. But I'm here to tell this church and anybody listening, I feel a tide rolling in. I said, I feel a tide rolling in. Somebody grab you the old rugged cross and get ready for a ride. Because it's high tide. My God, you don't have to die in the devil's hell. My Lord. You may be seated. He said, I got so excited about my discovery, I told a friend. He said, I wasn't going out alone. I was going to take somebody with me. He said, I judged that tide just right. And me and my friend had our little homemade surfboard. And we jumped off of the edge of that cliff. Caught that high tide wave as it rolled in. And it rolled right out. He said, they never caught us. Didn't know where we had gone to. We were gone. And never going back to that island. I'm not going alone. I'm here to tell somebody, if you want to go with me, if you want to go with me. Hallelujah, there's a way out of here. It's called the old rugged cross. Feel the tides of revival rolling in. But you've got to understand your timing. You may be seated in Jesus' name. They who always got something from Jesus were not always the elite of the city. And they were not always the most brilliant. They made their money by understanding in the secular world. There are times to get it. And if you don't get it, then it will forever leave you. But yet when it came to Jesus, they could not understand what was going on. But there were people, like the woman with the issue of blood, as she stood in the shadow way, knowing that death was near, when she saw Jesus passing by. This is my one chance. I've got to touch Him. I've got to get to Him. He can restore me. Oh, He can bring back the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar have taken from me. She had a sense of timing that nobody else in that crowd had. But Brother Sharp, she got it. She made her move, and when she did, she reached out and got a hold of the hem of His garment. Something began to happen. Her tooth left out of His body. It went into hers. The blood issue starts. My God, something began to move in that crowd. It was electrified. Oh, church, listen, dear God, dear Lord, somehow I got up from that sick bed and I told the Lord, I'm going to preach healing like I've never preached it before. I'm going to tell the people it's time for the apostolic restoration. It's time for people to get up off of the sick bed. It's time for people to be restored in the power of the Holy Ghost. Who's going to believe it? 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 Praise God. You may be seated. The blind man sitting in the bend of the road outside of Jericho. Oh, he didn't know it. He didn't know in the natural, but something in his spirit said when he heard Jesus was coming down the road, this is my high tide. Little did he know Jesus would never pass that way again, but he was passing that way. And when the Lord came by, that blind man, when he heard that it was Jesus, began to cry out, why do I sit here and die? I'm going to get up and I'm going to get my healing. That blind man arose and threw off that garment that said you're a blind man. He laid down that staff and threw away his cup. He said, it's a brand new day coming my way. He made his move at the right time. The crowd said wrong time. Jesus said right time. The crowd said no. Jesus said yes. He said, in the last days, I am going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody's going to get it if they want it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've been hearing things lately that are just blowing my mind. I've seen it happen here, and now it's beginning to move out. One brother told me, he said, I got so excited about God dealing with my life. He said, I laid down in the bed. And he said, while I was in the bed, asleep, I had a dream that the Spirit of the Lord had come to me. And in my dream, I began to speak in other tongues. Now, this just happened just a few weeks ago. And he said, it was so powerful that I woke up out of my dream with my hands lifted. And he said, I didn't stop. I just kept right on talking in tongues. Oh, hey, can I tell you something? You don't have to beg God for anything anymore. The days of begging are over. Just ask Him, and you shall receive. Lay down your begging cup, throw off your coat, put up your staff, and somebody go to where the Lord is passing by. He said, Brother Clark, I got the Holy Ghost in the middle of my dream, woke up and kept on talking in tongues. Friend, if God will do that to a dream, how much more tonight will it do His work? Oh, my God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Jesus had 3.5 years to spend with those disciples, putting into them an understanding that something new is about to happen. They didn't grasp it. They didn't understand it. That's how come they fell away in the time of crisis. But at least they hung on until victory came. Until now, on the day of Pentecost, the man that had failed God so much, when he began to see the glory of the Lord, he couldn't sit down anymore, Brother Dale. He had to get up. He rattled those keys and said, I know what this is all about. We're about to unlock a door. And the power of God began to fall. Hallelujah, Brother Carl. The Bible said 120 got it first. And while they were staggering and talking in tongues, the people come running from everywhere. What's going on? What's happening? What's taking place? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I honestly believe that as we're having these meetings and houses, I've been hearing now people are beginning to teach the Word of God. I believe that literally in our houses while we're teaching Bible studies, the Spirit of the Lord is going to begin to fall. It ain't going to just fall here. It's going to fall there. I feel it. I feel it in my soul. I feel it in my soul. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, something great is moving among us. You better understand this is God's timing. And the time is now and it's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Simon Peter, you may be seated, got up and began to preach. He said, listen, because the people were shocked and amazed. They didn't understand what these people were doing, talking in tongues and speaking languages that they had never learned. He said, listen, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what Joel prophesied about. He said, this is what he talked about and couldn't see. And when you read it again, you'll find out he did not use the word afterward. He cut it out. He changed that scripture of Joel 2:28 and said, that's past, honey. It's right now and you can have it. Now you listen to me. You can talk about your past all you want to, but I'm telling you something is happening right now. Right now. You can tell what the devil's done all you want to, but I'm telling what God is doing right now. Woo! I've lived here long enough to see it bad and see it hard. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God's doing right now. I said right now. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. May I tell you what is about to happen to some of you? And you people know by now that the things I've been speaking from this pulpit have been coming to pass. I'm telling you, God is doing some great things. Joel said God's going to do great things. May I tell some of you right now that you're going to be in your automobile and the glory of the Lord is going to come on you. And the Spirit of God is going to so fill you in that automobile that you're going to pull that automobile off to the side of the road and you're going to lift your hands and begin to talk in tongues. Listen to me. I'm standing here telling you this. It's going to come into your house so strong that you're going to get up off of that bed of sleep. You're going to walk into your living room and it's going to knock you to your knees. You're going to lift your hands and begin to talk in tongues. Listen to me. It's going to come on you while you're at your job. You're going to have to walk out somewhere. You're going on a cigarette break? No, sir. I'm going on a Holy Ghost break. Let me out of here. I got to go talk in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's understanding the timing. You may be seated. Folks, I watch them step outside the federal buildings. I watch them step outside the buildings and light up, pace back and forth again. They hurry and get a cigarette out, so they light the stupid thing up because the spirit of nicotine's got on them. Well, it's going to be a new day because some of them are going to be sitting there smoking, and they're going to be looking at you over on the corner. You're just going to be sitting there, oh, hallelujah, oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, praise God, I mean, oh, God. And they're going to walk up and say, wait, hey, you need a cigarette? No, I don't need that. What are you feeling? I feel the Holy Ghost! I said, I feel the Holy Ghost! I feel the presence of God! In the last day, you see, of God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh! God, folks, you're going to have to bear with me. Woo, I know it ain't pretty, but my God, I feel it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Somebody put your hands together. Woo, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, folks, some of you are not with me. No, you're really not yet, but you're going to see it. It's going to come to pass. Oh, my God. Oh, God. You may be seated. Oh, the Lord just told me something. Hey, when it's come, oh, God just told me something. He said, even some of the very persecutors that have persecuted my truth in this city, he said, I'm going to bring them and they're going to bow their knee. Saul was on the road to Damascus. He had the parchments under his arm already. He was a killing saints left and right. Till the time and came. He said, I was on my way to a street called Straight, when there was a light that shined out of the heavens, brighter than the noonday sun. He ran into that power of the living God. It knocked him to his knees. You may be seated. Ananias heard from the Lord and said, go and pray for Saul. He's a praying. Go talk to him. I'm about to do great things in his life. But God, that's a killer. That's a murderer. He's persecuted the church. But my time and his right, go pray for him. May I remind you that Ananias was so in tune with God that when he walked into that room, he didn't call him Saul. He called him brother. Brother Saul. Oh, it's a new day. It's a new day. Even the persecutors are going to bow, and God's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Some of you that have been under the guns, get ready. God's going to give you deliverance. You may be seated. I was pastoring Lake Charles, and I and my wife walked in, and there was a group of Baptists that were sitting there. I didn't know about it till later. And one of the young men wanted to pop off. He told all those young Baptist kids sitting there, he said, look, I can't even remember, it was an ugly name he called me. He said, I want you to look at that apostolic preacher. And all the Baptist kids looked up. I didn't know it, thank God. And they all started laughing at me when me and my wife walked in the restaurant. I didn't know anything about it. And we walked in that restaurant, and we sat down, and those Baptist kids got to mocking and laughing. And the number one man that let it off, and the one that ridiculed me and mocked me, and laughed at my wife because of her standards, somebody told him that God was doing great things in Lake Charles, and his Baptist heart got hungry. And so he said, I want to go visit. I said, what's the name of the church? Living Way. And he didn't know anything about it. He just won't go to Living Way because he heard miracles were happening. He said, when I stepped through the doors and you was in the pulpit, he said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. There he is. He said, I was so ashamed. I saw you standing there and said, oh, my God. It's an apostolic Pentecostal church. But he said, I couldn't turn back. I'd gone too far in. And while I started preaching, the power of God started falling. That Baptist boy got up out of that pew and walked down that aisle. And God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church, it's real. It's real. It's real. There's a new day for Austin. You may be seated. I cannot explain this, but something is happening over this city. Something is happening over this church. And something is happening over you. And listen to me, the thing that will grieve God more than anything is when people don't understand that their time has come. He stood over the city of Jerusalem and he wept and he cried and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you together as a hen would a brood, but you would not. And this is what he said, because you knew not the time of your visitation. Let me tell you something, friend. That's how come I'm keeping you out of the world and keeping you in the church. That's how come I'm not letting you lock in on things in this world. Because if I do that, you're going to miss it. And I'm going to miss it. But oh, if you can only understand what Jesus is doing right now. Somehow, I feel like he's standing over this city. And he's looking down on these demons. And when I was on my sick bed this past 2 weeks, violently ill, I felt the Lord come to me and ask me, what do you want? I said, God, I want you to clean this city from one end to the other. I want you to make it so nervous on the devil that the queers wake up shaking. The lesbians are saying, this ain't my home anymore. I want the drug addicts waking up saying, I've got to have a fix. But cocaine ain't it. Where is it? Where is it? I gotta have it. I gotta have a fix. But cocaine ain't it anymore. Where can I go? I'll tell you where you can go. To Apostolic, amen, Austin Tabernacle, where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. Hallelujah. Do you want it? Do you really want it? How bad do you want it? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand, look them square in the eye, and say, my time has come. My time has come. My time has come. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, church. Don't you back off. Don't you come down. We're not coming down and we're not backing up. We're going over that wall. Woo! I said we're going over that wall. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. You may be seated. I'm fixing to tell you something else. That you ain't gonna believe it. You would believe that the lame could walk on water before you believe what I'm fixing to tell you. But I'm gonna tell you something. You listen to me. Fasting is about to get easy in some of your lives. You get ready. There is an anointing to fast. And when that anointing comes, the devil starts shaking. I am prophesying that the spirit and the anointing of fasting is about to come on some of you. And the Lord is going to do things through your life. Hear it. Well, dear God, you may be seated. I'd have never known it. She sure is carrying it well. I got one sister in here that's on her 17th day of fasting right now. And I didn't even know it till just now. But this is only the start. It's only... Brother Clark, I'm out of here on this one. I'll run the aisles. But the spirit of fasting come on me, you're crazy. Oh, you get ready. It's coming. I can't even fast 12 hours. You say, oh, get ready. It's going to come because God is going to put an anointing on you. Why? Because He's fixing to do great things. He got a hold of that apostle Simon Peter and said, go on a 3-day fast. Go down by the sea and go to one Simon Tanner's house. Get up on the top of the roof. And I want you to fast for 3 days because something's coming your way. God got the church ready. Now He's getting the sinner ready. Oh, Cornelius was on his knees, a calling on God. And an angel come talking to him and said, hey, something about to come to your house. Woo! I got the church of fasting. I got an angel on the move. And God's about to come. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready for these last days? Are you ready? He's going to fill the floor. He's going to fill the mat. He's going to fill the house. You may be seated. I had one man of God move into this city that became a part of this assembly. And said, I told him, I said, you're going to have a great ministry. But you're going to have fasting come to you like you've never dreamed. He said, no, not me. I can't. He said, you don't understand. I get very ill. He said, my mouth breaks out in sores. I go 24 hours. My whole mouth swells up. Sores come on it. I can't fast. I said, oh, yeah, I see you're going to. He said, you don't understand. I can't. I said, God's going to heal you. Now the pastors are calling me saying, when does he eat? Does he ever eat? The food, we just throw it away. What's wrong with this man? Is something wrong with him? And he told me, he said, Brother Clark, I don't have one sore in my mouth. I don't even have one pain. It's 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. The spirit and the anointing of fasting came on him. I'm telling you why. God's getting the church ready, and He's getting the world ready. Oh my God, and when He brings them together, look out. Look out. Look out. Things are going to happen. Things are going to take place. Y'all can sit down if you want. Oh, God. Woo! Folks, you're going to have as much fun fasting as you do eating. You don't believe me. I said, you don't believe me. But you're going to literally enjoy fasting. I'm telling you, this is from the throne of God, so help me, God. You may be seated. That angel told Cornelius, says, let me tell you something. You go and you send somebody to Simon the Tanner's house and said, there's a preacher there. He's going to tell you what you need to do. And while all this was happening, Cornelius was getting ready. Simon Peter was seeing that God was fixing to do a new thing. Something you ain't never seen before. Said, that's unclean, don't you call it unclean anymore. Because I'm going to make it clean. Because in my hands, things are going to happen. Don't you call the alcoholics unclean anymore. Because God's going to make them ex-alcoholics. Don't you call the drug addicts unclean anymore. God's going to make them clean. He's going to restore them. He's going to make them new and whole and alive. Oh, my God. Woo. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Cornelius sent two messengers. And while they were knocking at the door, the Lord told Simon Peter, everything I told you I'm going to do, I'm ready to do it now. He said, get up. The fast is over. Go on down the steps. Somebody's a knocking on the front door right now. And go. He said, believing. Don't have any fear. Just believe and trust. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost talking to us tonight. No more fear and just believe. He went into that house of those bunch of Jews or Gentiles with some Jews with him. He couldn't believe what God had sent him to do. Hey, this is something God had never done before. The door was closed to the Gentiles till Acts, the 10th chapter. And I'm telling you, when God blows the doors off, He shakes them off. He rattles them off. My God, there's nothing can stand in the way. Don't tell me Austin's hard. It ain't hard. There ain't nothing too hard for God. Don't tell me you can't live for God here. You can't live for God here. Woo. Hallelujah. You may be seated. That old one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking preacher, lifted up his voice. And with his mouth, he began to preach on the anointing of God. And you can believe the whole time in his heart, he was saying, "What's wrong with me? This ain't never happened before. I saw the Jews do it, but I ain't never seen it happen to Gentiles. Oh God, I won't call them unclean. But how are you going to take a bunch of dogs and bring them in the kingdom? I'd like to see it." Well, preacher, you're fixing to see it. Amen. Because Gentiles were nothing but dogs. But the Bible said, while he was yet preaching, Sister King, he had his mouth wide open, fixing to make his name the same next point. When all of a sudden, something began to move into that house. Daddy began to shake. Mama began to shake. Little sister began to shake. Brother was up against the wall. An uncle was had his hands in the air. A first cousin was on his knees. The Holy Ghost began to fall in that house. The Bible said everybody. I said everybody got the Holy Ghost in Acts 10. And they all began to speak with other tongues. Y'all listening to me? Doctors are going to get it. Lawyers are going to get it. Garbage men are going to get it. Streetwalkers are going to get it. Policemen are going to get it. Tax collectors are going to get it. We got one of the biggest IRS units in the state and in the nation right here. Why can't we get a Matthew up from that table and say, "Come on, follow the Lord. Come on, follow the Lord." Brother Cooney, do you believe God can save IRS people? Can he? He's IRS, folks. You didn't know that, did you? He works for the IRS, but he's also a tongue talker. He got the Holy Ghost. I said he's got the Holy Ghost. I said God can do anything. I said God can do anything. God can do anything. All right, folks, I want you to listen to me. No more later. No more after a while. No more a year down the road. No more 10 years down the road. We're talking about right now. Right now, Sister Danette. Right now, Sister Danette. Right now. Power of the Holy Ghost in your family. Hallelujah. And in your family. And in your family. Right now. And I'm telling you, folks, you listen to me. You remember what I'm telling you. The spirit and the anointing of fasting is going to come on you. And you're going to find it as pleasurable to fast as it is to eat food. I'm telling you. You remember that because you're going to come tell me. Something's happening to me. I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to believe God. I believe God's going to do it. If you want to be in an apostolic revival, lift your hands right now. We're going to pray. In the mighty name of Jesus.